Hey, listeners, welcome to another episode of the Kids Ministry 101 podcast. Boy, do I have a treat for you today. You know, one of my favorite things in the podcast is to introduce you to my friends. Today, I have the unique opportunity to spend time with a guy, or we're going to spend time with him together, listeners, you and I, with a guy who every time I get to spend time with David Bennett, I look forward to those times and I reflect back on them with such great, I enjoy the moment. David, you're one of those people. When I told my wife, Chris, this morning that you were on the podcast, she wants to listen already because she just knows that we have such a great time together. So listeners, I want to introduce you to my really good friend, David Bennett. David is the managing editor of Home Life and Open Windows at Lifeway. David Bennett, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, glad to be here. It's going to be fun. It's always fun, man.
It better be now, because we've hyped this up now to where if it's anything but outstanding, I will lose such credibility with the listeners.
I'll make sure you keep your creds, man.
So please don't do that.
And your listeners.
Realistically, I've already lost credibility with the listeners.
No, surely not.
No, we have such a great time on the podcast, and honestly, with the people who listen to the podcast. I have a lot of opportunity to travel and speak and connect with people at conferences around the country. And without fail, there's someone who'll come up and be like, I heard your voice from across the room and I recognize you from the podcast. And I listen all the time. And it's just so great to meet you guys. Please don't stop doing that. I love interacting with you out in the wild, as it were, when we meet. And when we get to introduce those listeners, David, who are our friends, they're not listeners. This is like our family here with a listening audience who's all over the country and all over the world, where we get to introduce them to you. And so honestly, I truly am excited for them to meet you today and for us to talk through some stuff about interim roles. Many of our listeners find themselves in permanent roles that started as like a temporary thing that somebody says, hey, could you do this for a little while? Because we don't have anybody. And all of a sudden they find themselves in it. So I want to hear from you for those listeners who maybe have just been given an assignment. Hey, we need someone to step in. Could you handle this? And all of a sudden they're in it. We want to talk about that. But first, I love a good but first. Are you a but first guy?
But yeah, I'm a butt first guy. Yes.
So, but first, I always like to start with something just kind of fun so we can get to know, people can get to know you and get to know us. So this is a little kind of a conversation starter that that Chris, my wife, shared with me that our daughter Tristan introduced at a Bible study that they were in together. And so we're, you know, as this episode is recorded, it's right before Thanksgiving. Next week for us will be Thanksgiving. The podcast episode will probably air after Thanksgiving. So I'm still going to go with that and go with a little Thanksgiving themed question for you.
Go for it.
Are you ready? Okay, here we go.
Oh, I'm so ready.
Here's my question.
I'm so ready.
So you kind of have to get into that, into this mode where you kind of are thoughtful and reflective on this. Okay. So when you think of the Thanksgiving table, listeners, play along at home. Play along at home and then ask this question to your spouse, your kids, your friends at church. So here's the question. David, as you think of that Thanksgiving spread, that table, which dish on the table most represents who you are? Not what you like, but who you are. So metaphorically speaking, if you were one of those things on the table, which one is the David Bennett of the Thanksgiving spread?
Oh, man. I would say the Crystal Burgers. Oh, no, I'm not allowed to bring this to the table anymore.
What?
Yeah, Crystal Hamburgers. Yeah, no. I would be the mac and cheese.
Okay,
for
sure. Why is that? Tell me why.
Well, you know what? I think I'm really a cool dude and real classy and always was till I had children. And I have 1, 2, 3 daughters that would all agree that my jokes are kind of cheesy. I'm kind of cheesy. But I kind of help our family stick together.
See, good.
Stick together. Yeah. And I'm imperfect and unpredictable, just like you never know if the mat could be too tough, if you know, soft or whatever. Yeah, so I'm kind of Mackey and cheesy, I would say. Interesting. Yeah.
Okay, so you played that perfectly. That's exactly how the game is supposed to work.
Okay.
And if we chase that down, what I know about you, you're kind of a comfort food. Like you know how mac and cheese just kind of makes you feel good? Like you mentioned cheesy and sticking together. You are both of those. Yeah, you're one of my cheesiest friends, which is what I love about you. But you're also hearty. You know, the mac and cheese isn't light. It's not fluffy. Mac and cheese is hearty. It's a comfort food. It warms you up when you enjoy it.
And I enjoy it. I can see that. And I'm low-cal. You know, that too. There's something to maybe think about that later. You know,
about low-cal.
I'm nurturing. It's something about the nutritional value. I've got to think about that somehow. And I do like to eat.
There's a warmth about you.
Cold mac and cheese is not good. Yeah, I agree. So warmth is a good thing.
That is a good thing. And in the South, you're considered a vegetable.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that? So, you know, I grew up in New Jersey, lived in California, all over.
Yeah.
You're from South Carolina originally.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, so the meat and three. Listeners, if you're not familiar with the concept of a restaurant type called a meat and three, is that a Tennessee thing, David? Is that a Carolina thing too?
Yeah, it's definitely a Southern thing. I mean, definitely. It's Alabama, Tennessee, all the Southeast and stuff, and it's probably taking over the world by now because it's such a great concept. But yeah,
the concept for those who may not know, my California and New Jersey friends, you Minnesotans out there, the meat and three is where you walk into the restaurant and you choose from the menu your meat. I'm gonna have the meatloaf or the fried chicken or the pork chop, and then you choose your and three vegetables and green beans, coleslaw, corn. And one of the vegetables is always macaroni and cheese.
Always
mac and cheese. In the South, mac and cheese is a vegetable.
It is. It's a starch. My favorite food group, starch. And the only thing better than a meat and three is a meat and four.
Oh, I didn't know there was such a thing.
Yeah, no, and you can get double mac and cheese as well. So, you know, it's a win-win.
A meat and two, that's like amateur, right? You don't want the two.
Meat and two, why do it? Why go there? Exactly. Go back to Crystal, get your Crystal Burgers, if you know what a Crystal Burger is.
This whole Crystal Burger, we're going to save that for another conversation because I need to probe into your infatuation with the Crystal Burger.
It would be worth it,
definitely. Which in my lexicon is fake White Castle, right? Because White Castle was first.
It's a wannabe White
Other
Castle.
Story.
Yeah.
Other story.
Yeah. Other
All right, I'm
story.
Gonna tell you, yeah. I'm going to tell you my Thanksgiving dish. So my family asked me this, Dad, what would you be? Which on the table? And I said, I'm in my David Bennett mind. So here's where I'm going to go. Right. So I think I'm a big turkey. So here's, and here's why. So I tend, for better or worse, guys, and sometimes I feel bad about this, I tend to be kind of a big presence in the rooms that I'm in. You know, when the turkey comes out, it's like the turkey's here. Oh, and there's this kind of big thing. But in truth, and then there's the whole thing about a lot of stuffing. I've got a fair share of stuffing. But the turkey kind of, it seems like it's going to be a big presence. As I talk to people about their favorite Thanksgiving food, it's very rarely the turkey in the end. The turkey kind of, you have big expectations for it, but in the end, everybody really wants the mac and cheese or really wants the sweet potato casserole. And the turkey can be sometimes kind of disappointing. It's kind of like the big thing. And in the end, you're like, yeah, the turkey was a little dry. It wasn't as good as last year. All I got was the dark meat, you know. But when you put gravy, my wife is the gravy. So Chris and Kimberly is similar, David.
Yes.
They are, are what? And so what Chris said is she said, I'm not the turkey, I'm the gravy. She's like, I cover up for the turkey. I cover up the flaws in the turkey and or in the potatoes or whatever else. So There you go. So listeners, what are you? What would you be? This is a great question. If this aired before Thanksgiving, I would have you ask people at the table. Since it's afterwards, maybe reflect on it. It's still a fun thing. Use it for your Christmas feast. I don't know. So mac and cheese, welcome to the Big Turkey Podcast.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, David. So David Bennett, one of the things that that you are is you are, I don't know, I think of you as a bit of a Renaissance man. Like, you're very flexible. You do a lot of things well. And you're willing to step in and take stuff on. You have an energy, and you with your skill set that's so broad, you can do a lot of things. And I know that there's been more than one occasion when you have been the guy where a church, either yours or one that you don't attend, has had a need. We've had a person who left, maybe left quicker than expected, or maybe we've had an opening that we haven't been able to fill. David Bennett, could you please be, it seems like, Dave, this is another issue that nobody wants to hire you full time. I'm not sure why, but they often tap you to be the interim.
I'm not worthy. Just a little interrupt. That's right. Well, there's another podcast for you. That would another help me one. Out so, a no, lot. But
you have found yourself in the position of being the interim in a kids ministry space more than once. Tell us a little bit about that. How is it that churches wind up there? And then as a person who's been the interim, what are some of the challenges that our listeners may be feeling when they're the one who gets that tap?
Well, what a great thing for a church to think interim, because they could say, hey, we'll put the program on. We've had a minister to leave for whatever reason, so we'll put on the ministry on autopilot, or we'll just let the volunteers do it, or we'll just put it under the Minister of Education's umbrella and let him take it over. But, oh, thank you. Bless the churches that say, hey, we've lost a person. We've lost a personality, a presence. So let's find a presence to step in. And so all churches aren't able to do that or choose not to do it. But, you know, if you've lost a person, I think the best thing to do is replace it with a person, because you're not talking about programs. You're talking about relationships. It's all about relationships.
Amen.
So when you bring that other person in, you get a chance to, you know, continue relationships, build some new relationships. And it's been a good thing. I've actually done, four or five interims.
Yeah.
And I've done, you know, the two most recent have been kids interims, kids ministry interims. And that's what I'm presently doing. And it's an amazing, amazing opportunity. So much fun. So much fun. It's great to be full time, but there's something special and different and neat and cool about an interim.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's talk a bit about that. How is your mindset differently? So, you know, if we're thinking about, I'm looking for a full-time job.
If I were
as a listener, Big Turkey Mac and Cheese, there's a different mindset though when you step into something knowing that you are a temporary solution. Like, you're not going to maybe change the entire culture or create a 15-year strategy. When you're there, what sorts of things do you often find yourself walking into? Because typically in those situations, there has been some fallout of some kind. Maybe there's some pieces to pick up. How is that different than just taking a job? What are some of the things that you've seen in common about these and about how you need to walk in differently with different eyes as an interim?
Yeah, well, you're right. I mean, I don't think I've ever done an interim where it's been, oh my gosh, you know, the most amazing thing in the world. You know, we have no needs. We're good. We're just, just follow us and we'll lead you. Churches and usually the leaders, the volunteers are looking for some direction usually. And it usually is they're recovering from something. If nothing else, you know, they're missing their old minister. You know, they're in the relationships, and usually that minister wasn't just a solo person. They might have had a spouse and kids. So there's a whole family a lot of times that's been uprooted and gone. So really you go through a little bit of grief. Mm-hmm. And I never bring it up. I don't say, I know y'all are hurting, or I know this. I just kind of go in as if I have no history. And as far as they know, I don't, because in every interim I've done, I've been maybe known to one or two people. But the masses, the volunteers, have never heard of me, don't know who I am, don't know what I have to offer. You know, they know I'm there for a reason until they find the real minister. Mm-hmm. And so I walk in, and my biggest thing I do is I try to be kind of low key, which is very challenging for me because I'm not a low key kind of guy. But I try to be very low key. I listen a lot, and I'm constantly present. I learned early on in the interim, don't go in with big plans. I was told once to reconstruct during the interim to try to deconstruct and reconstruct a ministry. And so there was a very sacred camp that went on, very sacred. Oh, it was the camp of camps. It was like the King of Kings, the Holy of Holies. This was the camp of camps. And so I went in there and my marching orders were to end that camp. And I thought, oh, I don't want to do that. I want to start stuff on. And so, but I did it. And so in doing that, I thought, well, great, I'll be out in 3 months. Well, I ended up being there a year and a half and had to live with this terrible decision of what I think my overhead was thinking. I just get in, do the work, and get out. So I've learned not to make big changes, not to shake stuff up, kind of test the waters, check the temperature, and just keep the best stuff going that's going. And that's your Bible teaching. That's your Sunday morning stuff, your small groups, your Bible teaching, and then the other ministries you have. And I've learned, whatever you do, don't kill camp. But yeah, good stuff. I mean, good opportunities there. Yeah.
Yeah. That idea of not going in there and making big changes, but maintaining things. I guess in my mind, the interim role, and I honestly haven't spent a lot of time thinking about this, but I do know we have a lot of listeners either who are current interim leaders or it's some way a short-term solution or who will be. And so to have this mindset, David, is really important for us to take time to ponder and think through the idea of when you're in that interim, you're really stewarding someone else's ministry for a season.
True.
As opposed to running your own. How does that change the way that you approach things?
Well, ask lots of questions of the people. Be respectful. And of course, the worst thing I could do is come in and poo-poo anything in the past. That's not my role anyways in the interim. So really, you kind of become, at whatever age, you kind of become like a grandparent, or, you know, kind of just that grandparent role where you're just loving everybody. You really are sincerely loving people. And if there's healing to take place, you're there to bring healing. But just to be ears. The most important thing I think I can do in an interim position is to listen. And it's kind of an interesting thing because, you know what, the people will, they will tell you and talk to you about things they may not, because interims can be a very safe position. And almost, it's like mac and cheese, it's comfort food. It's comforting.
That's you.
And the interims can be comfort food in that you're there to listen to people. They will, if you listen, if you're available, the people that serve that church that you're shepherding for a short period of time, they're going to tell you what's important to them. They're going to share with you some of the things they've struggled with. And you can go on this interim and say, hey, I'm just here. I said, you know, in this interim time, you know, we're gathering information. I'm here kind of just to listen. And you really do enter interim. You probably learn the most about your people, your programs, the good, the bad, and the ugly by just listening and being accessible. And I walk into classrooms on Sundays. I go in two or three times to classrooms just to give a thumbs up and to let them know that I love and appreciate what they're doing. But in doing that, they'll kind of, after the session's over, they'll stop me because they've seen me. They know we have a relationship, and this opportunity is in just hallway conversation to listen and hear, you know, what they're concerned about, or what they love, or what they hope will continue, what they feel like is best for the kids. And mainly as volunteers, what they need. Does it bug them when I walk in their class, or do they like it? You know, and you know, things like that. So the listening part of interim, like being a sponge and just pulling it all in, is the most important thing a person can do in that role, I think.
And so as you're talking about this, I'm kind of identifying different audiences that you're serving, right? So you've mentioned the kids, obviously, that may be the front line, right? As we need to maintain, so kids, the volunteer team, which may have been coming through a season. Kids may not even be aware if there's been a change in leadership, or certainly not if there's been any sort of drama or anything like that. The kids are often not aware of that. Volunteers maybe have been through some things that have caused some hurt and that have resulted in some grief. Then you also have the church leadership and the church itself, who sees a need to fill this gap. And so you have that church leader, maybe who's brought you in. You have the children who need to maintain programming and discipleship in a relationship sense for them, and your volunteers. How, as you walk in, David, how do you prioritize those three audiences as an interim?
Yeah, number one is when I'm in there, is I always see the volunteers first. And honestly, the leadership that has brought me in, they're leading somewhere else. So we have team meetings and we communicate during the week. But, you know, Sundays and Wednesdays and other days during the week and at events, that's game day for us. Mm-hmm. And so I really do. I'm there early, greeting the leaders, making sure, say, do you need anything? Do you need anything? I ask, it's almost like on New Amsterdam, how can I help? How can I help? The lead character says on that. And I really do. I say, how can I help? What can I do? Can I get copies for you? Do you have everything you need? I get the early turn, the lights on and stuff, and I'm there to greet them. It's funny. The kids just kind of stare at me and look at me like, now, who are you? Then they really, they're so incredibly resilient. But I think they're still wondering who I am. But the volunteers definitely know. So that's the priority. And I figure, you know, I've been hired under the church staff, but to serve and minister to the volunteers. So that's where I start first. And really close to that is parents. There's such great opportunities to minister to parents. And we, you know, we have security at our doors, and like most churches do. And so, you know, the kids don't get in without their parents bringing them and then picking them up. So there's a lot of opportunity for building relationships with parents and just, you know, letting them know that there's a valid, important, thriving, amazing program continuing that was going on before, will go on afterwards, because the volunteers aren't going anywhere. The leadership may change, but the volunteers, the meat of the ministry, these people remain committed, and they even almost overcommit during the interim. You see volunteers so many times, instead of disappearing, they step up. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that before when I took a full-time job and say, hey, where'd you go? But they really, volunteers just really buy in and see the importance of just giving their best plus during the interim time. So I'd say volunteers, priority number one, parents, priority number two. Now I say that, it's not like kids aren't important, but if the parents and the volunteer, if the adults are taken care of and equipped and encouraged and loved on, the kids are going to totally get all of that.
Yeah. And that primary connection to the kids is really still through the volunteers.
Yes.
The volunteers are the constant that the kids need, right? We know they need to, we prefer volunteers who are committed and consistent and connected and care about the kids. And if your volunteers are doing those things, the kids should be stable and okay. Their point of contact has not changed. Now, if you've had a high profile kids ministry leader that you're filling in for, they may have been a stage presence, they may have been well-liked or popular, but chances are the primary relationship is with the small group leader, not the main leader. But David, I think really insightful to say that in that interim situation, the volunteers keep holding that team together, right? Because if that team crumbles, now the children's ministry suffers. And then the parents, because we know a lot of families are at the church that they're at because of the kids ministry. And if the kids are having a hard time in the children's program, we're at risk of losing families out of the church altogether.
It's true. And you think about it, because, you know, they're, whether it's a platform led ministry or a lower key ministry, whatever form kids ministry takes place, whoever comes in is probably going to do something different than was done before. They may do things exactly the same, but I've never seen a situation where things went exactly the same. And there wasn't a blip, not even a hiccup. But, you know, if your volunteers do not remain committed, or your volunteers feel unloved, unneeded, whatever, then that's where the problem is. Though, if as long as you can maintain the volunteers, love on them, encourage them, equip them, and say you had a platform style ministry before and you don't now, the great thing about this is it kind of raises the volunteers even to a higher level to realize that, hey, we're the ones. It's not the events or the big problem. It's the relationships. It's the daily, you know, time that we have with our kids in Bible study and relationship building that's impacting them and their families.
And I think another person that when you're in this interim that you have a responsibility to, that may be easy to overlook, but I want to hear your thoughts on how you, David, in your interim experiences, serve this person. The other person that you need to serve really well as the interim is the next leader who will have the job.
Yes. And even though, and sometimes you know who that person will be, usually not. You don't know. You don't go in there thinking, oh, what is she? What is he going to do? You know, will it be this? Will it be that? But the main thing is, it's like gardening or something. You want to kind of get the weeds out and prepare the soil. And so at the end of a hallway, there was an ugly furniture that had accumulated from all over the church. And they just stacked it in the corner and it looked awful, like a garage sale. And I didn't have the authority to do this at all, but I suggested that the furniture be moved. And it wasn't because of my power, but because of the kids' ministry assistant just made it happen and it was gone. And that's a slip. But then we changed the environment. We kind of made it more kid friendly and family friendly. But I say more than furniture, it's like programming stuff and anything that's a distraction, anything that could be a roadblock, you know, or something that would just slow someone down. Like a lot of times I'll get comments about maybe a certain kind of curriculum or approach. And then, you know, and we discuss. So rather than like say, okay, we're going to change everything, we say, well, here's some options and here's some things to think about as you go into this next phase of your ministry with a new leader. But I think that the main thing is just what is there anything that you hear that's a sore spot for a leader or in the ministry? You literally, God can use even an interim person, even a little mac and cheese guy like me, if I'm just open to God's spirit, if I listen, then it's amazing how God will use that inner time to bring healing, but also remove distractions. I mean, even if it's like, there's a hot room, it's never air conditioned, it's the worst room, our kids are dying, you know, something practical, you could maybe try to either move them to another room or get them another room. But I just think you set the stage. You want to set that new person up for amazing success and opportunities to do things that church has never seen before, never seen done before. I don't know if that answers the question or not.
I don't know if you've ever had this experience. Chris and I, when we were young married before we had kids,
younger,
we're trying to figure out where to younger. Thank you. Bless you. Where we didn't have a place to live for a season and we were invited to be a caretakers of a home. And so there was a season when we lived in a house that wasn't ours. We took care of it, knowing that it belonged to someone else and that the person who used to live here isn't here anymore. But we were also getting it ready to belong to somebody else. That was a really different experience than when we bought our first home and it was ours, when we painted the walls our color and when we moved our things in and when we rearranged things. Really, when we're in that interim role, we're caretakers of someone else's home, or someone else's property, someone else's place. And so we want to be careful that we're not knocking down load-bearing walls, right? And that we're not making major changes, because really what we are is we're a short-term caretaker, and that's definitely very different than being the homeowner. How's that for an analogy?
That's a great analogy. That's so much better than what I said. That's awesome. Yeah, it is. That's so true, because, you know, and I think the role of interim, we got to realize we're not there to just make major changes. Our impact should be personal. It should be relational. It should be almost subtle. So it's last, almost like people don't know it happens. You know, it's just something that we should do naturally and almost imperceptibly. But like, you don't want to start a new program in the interim. I would not recommend.
Well, because if you have a new person who comes in, they may want to switch to something else, and now you have jerked your people and your kids to something new, and they're going to be jerked back a different way potentially.
Yes,
that could undermine the success of that new leader.
I think what you look around, you say, what is going on here, and see all the best in what's going on. And you say, okay, how can we make what is so awesome and great even greater? How can we just, you know, give it wings more? How can we just ground it more? And how can we just pour into these leaders and say, my goodness, do you know what you're doing? How that's impacting kids for the kingdom and families and, you know, you're raising up ministers here, missionaries, ministers by what you're doing. So if we pour into the leaders, affirm them, and just concentrate on all the best things and grow the best things, and don't worry about planting new plants. You pull the weeds out, don't plant anything new, but focus and grow what's already planted there, that God's already planted there. You know, that's the best analogy. Interims, just like we all are stewards, right? Mm-hmm. The interims are stewards of a ministry for a short time that existed before, will exist after. But that is, we interims need to see ourselves as stewards of a ministry. I mean, and that's a great picture. It really is.
That's really, really different than coming in as a big change agent, right? To totally bring different. About a big agenda. Very different. So it takes a gentle hand in a lot of ways. You mentioned listening, maybe more so than talking. You mentioned understanding hurts and pain and grief that can be there. And even, David, I'm walking away with this with even a new perspective on the importance of maybe focusing your ministry as an interim, not on the kids directly, but on the volunteers, on the parents, and then preparing the place for that new leader who might come in.
Good summary. I would agree. Yeah.
I've been taking notes. David Bennett, thank you, Mac and Cheese, for being here today.
You,
it's
Big
always
Turkey.
Good to see you. Yeah, Big Turkey. We got our new like CB names, right?
It's like, that's right.
Hey, Mac and Cheese is Big Turkey.
Breaker, Big Turkey.
Come in, 10-4. David Bennett, thank you for being here. Listeners, I want to direct you to a place where you can find some really good short-term resources. Now, the curriculum that we produce at Lifeway, Bible Studies for Life Kids, Explore the Bible Kids, and the Gospel Project for Kids, you can find all of those in one simple place at lifeway.com/kids. You can also find there the archive of our blog and of our podcast, where you can listen to other awesome episodes like this one. But there are other things there that are really good tools for you if you are a short-term interim leader. And so some of those include our short-term resources. And so we have some wonderful things that you might consider doing for a short period of time. Our Forged Bible study, our Defined Bible study, our I'm a Christian Now resources for new Christian and discipleship, and our Team Kid midweek resources. You can find details about all of those at lifeway.com/kids. Click on the curriculum tab at the top left, and you will find featured short-term Bible studies for younger kids, older kids, preteens, all right there. And guys, there's some fantastic stuff that whether you are the regular full-time recurring leader or an interim, like my good friend, David Mac Bennett, these short-term studies can be a great thing that you can introduce and do a 5 or 6 week study that can be really beneficial for a short period of time. Check them all out at lifeway.com/kids. Listeners, thank you for listening as always, and we'll see you back again soon for another episode of the Kids Ministry 101 Mac and Cheese podcast.